So my daughter has been going through the process of getting new car insurance. She had a rough stretch her senior year a couple years ago. She was involved in an accident that was her fault. She totaled her car out in it. Around that same time, she had a couple speeding tickets. And needless to say, those factors combined to increase her liability rate with the insurance company. Now, we've been with State Farm Insurance for 30 years. We've been with State Farm Insurance since my wife was 16. Got her first policy with them. We've always been with State Farm, and I know my agent out in Blue Springs. He's a good guy. I talk to him far too often. And at least that's what he tells me. We speak far too often. And he came to us one day and he said, "Hey, listen, you know we love you guys, right? You've been with us for 30 years. You are long-term clients. We love that. But we're going to have to drop you if you don't get rid of your kid." And as a loving parent, I responded, "I don't even know her. I'm not even sure we're related." No, she did. She had to get off of our insurance. She was just too much of a risk, right? And insurance companies don't like risk. Now, luckily, here of late, she's spent the last 2 years driving very safe, not getting any speeding tickets, not being in any accidents. Slowly but surely now her rates are able to come down. My sister-in-law is an insurance agent and is helping her to knock about $100 a month off of her insurance. So she's very happy about that. But she had to work very hard so that she could lower her risk. Because that's what she is. When you have an accident, especially one where you total out a car, especially when you have speeding tickets, the insurance company says, "Hey, you're a risk. You're going to cost us money." Right? We're going to have to spend. And insurance companies don't like spending money. They love getting money. They don't like spending money. So they looked at her and they said, "You're too much of a risk for us." So she had to go somewhere else. You know, risk is like that. None of us really like taking risks. Myself included, I am risk averse. I like things safe and comfortable and reliable and routine. I know I put on a good face sometimes about, "Hey, let's jump out there and take a chance," but I'm trembling in my boots, right? Risk scares me just as much as it scares you. I'm not a edge out to the end of the branch and take a leap kind of a guy. I'm a hug the trunk and be perfectly happy right here. I'm a go with what works guy. Keep it simple kind of guy. Go with your strengths, which is what makes where I am so weird. 17 years ago, when God began calling me to go into ministry, I had a good life. I had a good job, a job that I loved, a job that paid me well for what I did. My wife had a great job. I was smart enough to marry up, right? Just a word of what, marry someone smarter than yourself, right? Because she had a great, she worked for a company called Kiewit. They're an international construction conglomerate centered in Omaha, Nebraska for some reason. They had amazing benefits. We used to get to go to the zoo. You know that Omaha zoo everybody loves to talk about and go to? $25 a year we paid for our family pass because she worked for Kiewit. It was a great job. I loved that job. We had a good life. It was the first time in our life that we both had real adult jobs with real adult salaries, right? All of our needs were taken care of. We had enough extra that we could live comfortably. We were very, very happy. And then along comes God nagging at me. "Hey, you want to go into ministry?" "No. Don't want to do it." I resisted. I didn't want to risk that. Ministry meant I was going to have to quit my job, which, did I mention, I loved, right? I was going to have to go back to school, and there's no seminary in Omaha I could go to. The closest one was all the way down in Kansas City. And the next closest one was Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't even know. That's not even on a map. No. I don't want to do it. No, I'm happy. We belong to a nice little church. We run the adult Bible study on Wednesday nights. We have fun with that. We talk about fun topics. No. The job I had, I worked with adults with developmental disabilities. I was the person responsible for interviewing and hiring the staff that would work with our clients in both their residential and vocational locations. And I loved that job. My job was to find people to work with these adults and help them. And I thought I was making a real difference in the world. I loved my job. But God just kept nagging. And nagging, just in my ear all the time. Come on! Leave comfortable behind. Come on, take a risk. Step out of the boat. Come on, get your feet wet. But I was afraid. I couldn't see what was coming. I couldn't predict what would happen. I couldn't be in control if I did that. There's an old joke that a new minister arrived at a church for his first Sunday worship. He got up to do the sermon, and it was a good sermon. It's one of those sermons gets everybody just riled up and feeling good, right? They got done with worship, and everybody's kind of nudging each other. Hey, I like this new guy. This is pretty good, huh? The next Sunday, they gathered up for worship, and the pastor got up in the pulpit, and he started preaching the same sermon that he preached the week before. And the folks in the pews were kind of glancing sideways at one another like, hey, didn't he just preach this? Wasn't this the same one? Isn't this what he said last? But they sat there through the whole sermon. The next Sunday they gathered for worship. Pastor got up in the pulpit and sure enough started preaching the same sermon again. Now they weren't being subtle about those sideways glances. They were looking at one another. They were raising their eyebrows. You know that look where you look over the glasses like, has this guy been drinking? What's he doing? Who did we hire? This guy's a fruitcake. What's going on? Right? The people starting to get disturbed by it, starting to get upset, starting to get agitated. The next week, his fourth sermon there, they gathered for worship. This guy has the gall to get up in the pulpit and start preaching the same sermon. Well, now the arms are getting folded. What is this guy up to? We're not getting our money's worth. Four worship services and one sermon. We're getting cheated here. So after service, the head of the elders went up to the minister, pulled him aside, and said, son, I don't know if you realize it or not, but did you know that you've preached the same sermon for 4 weeks in a row? The pastor said, yes, sir. And the elder said, well, is there a particular reason why you've preached the same sermon for 4 Sundays in a row? And the preacher said, yeah, y'all haven't started doing what I talked about yet. I figured I'd keep talking about it until you started doing it. I tell you that joke because pieces of this sermon you're about to hear have been lifted from a sermon I've preached here twice before. And I don't want y'all looking at one another going, has he talked about, wait a minute, he talked about this once before. I don't want that to happen on this sermon. I want you to be aware that I directly lifted large pieces of this sermon from a sermon I preached about 5 years ago. And it's actually a sermon I wrote about 15 years ago. That I've re-preached several times in several different places. But it's a good sermon, and I don't know that we've heard it enough, and so I thought it would be okay if we heard it again. The disciples, you see, are out in the boat. Jesus has sent them on ahead. Jesus goes up to pray. He sends the disciples out in the boat, and the waters aren't very calm. You know how that is when you're in the boat, and it's kind of choppy. The waves are kind of banging against the boat, right? And they're a little nervous about that. They're a little scared. It's not the best night to be out on the lake. But they're sitting there in the boat. Jesus told them to wait. And it says, early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then Peter, who is sitting in a perfectly good boat, a perfectly good, perfectly safe boat. Remember, when you're in a boat on the sea, it's better to be in the boat than out of the boat, right? Peter's in the boat, and he gets this crazy idea, and he says, hey, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. I don't know that that was the answer Peter was hoping for. I think Peter was pulling one of those, hey, watch this. Lord, you want me to come to you? And Lord's going to go, no, no, Jesus, I'll be there in a minute. Just stay there. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus, who is walking to them on the lake, Peter says, hey, I'll get out there with you, Lord. That's how big my faith is. What do you say? And Jesus says, come on out. So Peter got out of the boat. He gets out of the boat, starts walking towards Jesus, walking on the water. Starts moving towards Jesus. When we trust in God, when we follow God's call, God does amazing, miraculous things. When we risk in God's name, when we follow God's call, even though we can't see where it's leading, we can't see how it works out, we can't be in control, but we're going to follow where God is calling us to go, God does amazing things. But then what happened to Peter, right? He's walking, he's doing it, walking on the water. Then he starts to see the waves crashing against him. He begins to realize where he is out of the boat. He begins to panic a little bit. He begins to doubt a little bit, and he begins to sink a lot. Our fears and our worries creep in. Even in the midst of God's wonder, we begin to second guess. To remember how safe it was in the boat, we begin to be afraid that we can't do it. And the truth is, we can't. But God can. When he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You look at this story, we can be like 11 of the 12 disciples if we want. 11 of them stayed in the boat. That was the safe choice. That was the comfortable choice. Right? That was the choice that was not going to get them wet. We can do that. We can stay in the boat. Most of the disciples did. Now that boat was still getting battered by the waves, but it was safer than standing on the sea. But only the one who risked got to feel God's power. Only the one who risked got to experience God's ability. Only the one who risked got to touch the unbelievable. I read a story recently, happened down in Texas, in one of the cities, Austin or Houston or one of those down there, Dallas. There was a street corner, and every day there was this homeless guy sitting or laying or sleeping on this street corner. It was a busy street corner. It was downtown where all the big buildings are. There were thousands of people walking by every day, and this homeless guy's laying there on the sidewalk every day. Rain or shine, it doesn't matter. He's laying there on the sidewalk. 3 years he's laying there. People just stepping over him, stepping around him, right? There was this woman that worked nearby. Every day for 3 years she walked past him. I'm sure she went through a whole gamut of questions and reactions over those 3 years. You know, why doesn't he get some help? Why doesn't he get a job? Why doesn't he get cleaned up? Why doesn't somebody help him? I wonder what's wrong with him. Finally, after 3 years, she couldn't take it any longer. One morning, she decided to risk a little something. On her way to work, she got to where the homeless man was laying, and she stopped, and she talked to him. Found out that his name was Victor, and it became pretty evident pretty quickly Victor suffered from mental illness. As she listened to Victor's story, how he was homeless, had no money, had no food, had nowhere to live, she asked him, she said, Victor, why do you come to this corner every day? You've been here every day for 3 years. Victor told her, this is the last place I saw my mother. I keep coming back, hoping she'll be here. The woman's heart broke for Victor in that moment. She didn't know what to do. She wasn't sure. She'd stepped out of the boat. She was in uncharted waters here. So she decided to come out and spend her lunch with Victor. So she took her lunch out and she split. She gave Victor half of her lunch and they sat there and ate lunch and they talked. And she just listened to Victor's story. Got to know Victor. And after that, every day she would bring a lunch for him too, and they would go out on the sidewalk and they would sit there and they would eat lunch together and she would learn about Victor. And after a while, she started a Facebook page for Victor so that people in the community could get to know him, could get to hear this story that she was discovering. As she shared that information, other people in the community saw it and they wanted to help. Eventually, a group came forward and helped Victor get access to some mental health services. Another group came forward and helped him to get some of the medication that he needed. A shelter contacted him and got him a place to live off the streets. The woman herself ran a very small bakery, but she gave Victor a job working in the bakery, cleaning up. And eventually, as Victor's story was shared and shared again, somebody read it who knew Victor's mother. And Victor got to see his mom again after more than 4 years. All because one person, one woman on her way to work who had a thousand other things on her mind at that moment, she had stuff to get done for work, she had stuff to get done for home. Here's this guy, got to step over every day, all because she stopped and took a risk. God was calling me into ministry and I didn't want to go. I had it pretty good. I was perfectly content with the life I had, but God was just kneeing and kneeing and kneeing in my ear. Come on, get out of the boat. Come on, step out on the lake. See what happens. So in July of 2000, driving home from 4th of July weekend at Lake of the Ozarks with my wife, we had a 6-hour drive back to Omaha. So we talked and we talked and we talked and we talked. We just couldn't see how it was going to work. I mean, I was going to have to quit my job. I was going to have to go to school in Kansas City. If I was in school, Kansas City, for 3.5 days every week, how was I going to get a job to make any money? How was this going to work? Finally, on that drive, we both just stopped, and we could not see what the answer was. And we prayed, and we said, Lord, we don't get it. I can't see what's coming. I don't understand what's going on. Please show me clearly what you want me to do, where you want me to go. Show me what it is. 2 days later, I was called into my boss's office and I was let go because our state funding got slashed. They had to eliminate one position. And as I sat there in the meeting in my boss's office with her and her boss, both explaining to me the details of the state budgetary cuts and apologizing that they had to do this and gosh, how sorry they were, I felt this weird sense of calm and peace come over me because it was Jesus' voice that I heard saying, come. Got this big dumb smile on my face. I'm sure they thought I was about to pull a nutty, right? Just lose it right there. And But I didn't. I thanked them very much for the opportunity to spend the last couple years with them and went and gathered up the stuff in my office and headed home. In my spirit, I knew what had happened. I had stepped out of the boat. I had risked for God, and there God was. I felt myself falling, but eerily, I knew God was catching me. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't easy. The next few months especially were pretty difficult without both incomes. I started seminary a month later down here in Kansas City, and driving down here on Tuesday mornings, driving back to Omaha on Thursday afternoons was an enjoyable drive. Don't get me wrong. That's a scenic byway if ever there was one, but it was a struggle. By the time December rolled around, I'd been in school for 4 months. My wife and I started talking that maybe moving to Kansas City was the answer. Now, that was really scary because quitting my job was one thing. But remember, my wife had a great job. I mean, fantastic job. So that was really scary. So we prayed about it again. We said, Lord, you know, it feels like maybe we should be in Kansas City instead of Omaha. What is it you want us to do? And the next week, I got a call from a church that was looking for a student minister to come and be their pastor. And it turns out, because I was smart enough to marry up, my wife found a better job in Kansas City. So we packed up. We moved to a new city, and a new start. We stepped out of that boat and we said, okay, all right, Lord, I don't know what's coming next, but we're out here on the lake with you. Risk is scary. It isn't easy. And given the choice, we will shy away from risk every chance we get. It is built into our DNA. From a time millions of years ago when taking a risk meant getting eaten by something. We don't like taking risks. But isn't faith itself pretty risky? I mean, isn't just the very act of believing in Jesus Christ, isn't that a pretty big risk? Believing in this guy that turned water into wine and walked on the lake and raised the dead. And I mean, isn't that a pretty big risk already? It's not a safe choice. When we choose to believe, we're taking a risk. When we choose to follow Jesus, we are taking a risk. When we choose to give up control and say, Lord, if it is you, call me and I'll come to you. We are taking a risk. But we are called to be bold, to not play it safe. Hebrews talks about God does not desire sacrifice. The reason God didn't desire sacrifice is it became routine. The people were no longer putting their heart and spirit into the sacrifice they were making. They were simply bringing their chicken or their goat or their sheaves of wheat, whatever it was, and offering it because that was what they did that day. They were simply coming to church on Sunday, putting on their nice clothes, sitting in their pew, sitting there singing the songs, following along in the bulletin, nodding during the sermon, right? Getting up, shaking the minister's hand every week. But Hebrews tells us that's not enough. That's not what God desires. God wants us to get our feet wet. And if we're going to do that, we got to step out of the boat. What are you willing to risk for the kingdom of God? Would you risk your seat in the pew? Would you risk the programs or the policies that we've come to know and rely on? Would you risk the style of worship that we have? Would you risk doing things like we haven't done them before? What big step of faith are you willing to take? Because until we can answer that question with, Lord, if you call me, I will come to you, and we're just going to sit here in the boat and float around. Some people will say to you, you know, if you don't step out of the boat, then you won't get your feet wet. But I say, if we don't step out of the boat, we're never going to get our feet wet. Take that step of faith today. Trust that Jesus will save us. As long as we keep our eyes on Him and we step out of the boat and follow His call.